During these weeks of summer, we've been approaching God's Word in our time of worship in a way we haven't before. We've been taking 4 weeks at a time to focus on one word. One word that, of course, can be expanded into many words, and really, for that matter, expanded into books upon books upon books. But it's a beginning point for us. It's a reminder for many of us. So we spent 4 weeks on the word Bible, and we spent 4 weeks on the word doubt, because many of us, if not all of us, have times when we doubt God's presence in our lives, when we doubt that we're doing the right thing. And we spent 4 weeks on prayer. We're now in the midst of 4 weeks on one word, and that word is money. You might say, well, you know, what's the point of bread and cup? What does it have to do with money? Because our daily Bible readings, and I hope you're following those each and every day, they are focusing upon what it means to give, what it means to sacrifice. Interesting. The bread and the cup is teaching us how to give. And our worship of bread with bread and cup is teaching us what it means to understand true sacrifice. So it's pretty amazing that just about any angle we take, any subject the Bible speaks to, whether it be prayer or whether it be faith or whether it be money, it's all tied up in God's plan for our lives. So though we may take a brief break from focusing upon specifically giving, finances, budgets, which we're all familiar, we bring it back to where it really began and what it really means. And that is bread and cup as a reminder, as a powerful symbol of what the story of Scripture is all about. If you want to understand the cross, if you want to truly understand what bread and cup means to us, then you have to understand the Old Testament book called Exodus. It couldn't be more plain. It couldn't be stated in simpler terms than to simply say that if you and I truly want to understand the life of Jesus, the purpose of God in sending us a Savior, we have to have a broad understanding of the second book of Scripture, the book of Exodus. Why? Think about it. The book of Exodus is about God's delivering His people from bondage. The book of Exodus is about the rising up of a leader named Moses, who then answered God's call to go back to Egypt and demand that the people be set free. If you remember the give and take between Moses and his brother Aaron on one side and Pharaoh, who was considered to be not just the king of Egypt or the ruler of the known world, but considered to be a deity, a god in and of himself. You'll remember that Moses and Aaron kept hammering home the point. Let the people go. They've been in bondage for over 400 years. Let the people go. Salvation is what Exodus is about. Commitment, sacrifice is what the book of Exodus is about. But it comes home, it comes to a laser point almost when we speak of what happened here in the Scripture regarding the bread and the cup as Jesus celebrated a meal with his disciples. It's a meal called Passover. It's a meal that took on extraordinary meaning for the people, still does today. Passover. You remember there were 10 plagues that God visited upon Pharaoh until Pharaoh finally relented and did let the people go. Salvation was achieved for the people as a nation in that event. But what we need to remember is that those 10 plagues were all leading up to number 10. In other words, the first nine were showing different things, God's power over any other powers of this earth, turning the water of the Nile into blood, sending a swarm of locusts to destroy the crops, on and on, pestilence among the people. But it was the 10th one that culminated them all. The death of the firstborn is what literally happened. That was what finally broke Pharaoh's will when he relented and let the people leave, let them go. The death of the firstborn, the only ones protected from that terrible plague were those who had put blood upon their doorposts. And though that sounds very primitive and beside the point, it is the point, because blood became known as the life source of humanity. That's what caused the body to live, among the other body parts, of course. But it was blood, a blood of protection, a blood that would symbolize the blood of salvation. That's what had happened in the book of Exodus. And that's why this meal is so important for us today. Because see, if you fast forward all the way from the time of the Exodus and that first celebration of Passover that started as a terrible plague, then you will remember that it carried with it much meaning. For you see, the Jews were commanded to celebrate the Passover event on an annual basis. So every year from that first one, Passover happened. In the time of Jesus, it was an entire week. But on Thursday evening of that last week of his life, Thursday evening of that week that was set aside each and every year, the Passover meal was served. It was a pretty inviting meal, if you're talking about the menu. It contained all of the major food groups. It contained meat, the sacrifice of a lamb. It contained vegetables. There were those bitter herbs, you remember, that were mentioned. All of those had a symbolic representation, a symbolic meaning that looked back to the time of the Exodus. But Jesus changed all that, didn't he? Because it tells us that that Thursday evening, the last week of his life, right before he's going to be put on trial and go to a cross on Friday morning, he took that Passover with his disciples. It was something that they planned for every year. So it was much like you and I plan for Christmas or any other annual holiday or getting ready for a birthday. You go through the motions. There are certain things that you do each and every time. And that's exactly what the disciples did in preparing the Passover meal that Jesus would share with his disciples. You remember, Scripture tells us that Jesus ministered 3 years, give or take 6 months, 3 to 3.5. And so that means that he had taken the Passover meal with his disciples at least a couple of times, more than likely 3 times. This would be the 4th one, maybe. So they were used to the routine because they'd all grown up with it. They'd all sat around their table at home and celebrated this meal that did what? That looked back to the Exodus, to the salvation of the nation, marching toward the promised land. So all the preparations had been made, and the meal was served. There were certain lines that were spoken, that were recited by members of the family, from the youngest child all the way up to the head of the household. I imagine with Jesus and his 12 friends, his 12 disciples, they may have abbreviated that a little bit. Some of them knew that they all knew the story, and so they all chimed in when the time came to ask the important questions. Around the family table, it would be, "Father, why do we celebrate this meal? Why do we do things in this way?" And the father would then answer, "Well, it all goes back to years ago when God saved our nation, when he set us free from bondage, when he paid a tremendous debt that the nation owed, and God delivered us because he loves us." And then that would start the meal. and the different portions of the meal, the different courses of the meal, all had a symbolic representation that looked back to that day, that evening, the Passover. That's what they did in the upper room. But then Jesus changed it all. Instead of the customary speaking of a benediction, praise to God, and the singing perhaps of a song that they all knew, that probably talked about God as Father, God as Provider, God as Savior. But Jesus held them at the table. And that's when he picked up the bread. And that's when he picked up the cup. And he changed it all. How? Because from that point on, the taking of bread and cup did not look backwards, did not look to the past, though it was grounded there. And though we must understand those events in order to understand where we are today. But what Jesus did looked forward. It looked ahead. It looked to the time when he would return. The taking of the bread, the drinking of a cup that represented broken body and spilled blood was not part of the Passover. As a matter of fact, it would have gone against the grain of what the disciples really understood about the Passover. Even though there was blood on the doorpost, even though there was blood across the top, the lintel of the door to spare the family the death, the plague of the death of their firstborn. Still, the taking on and the envisioning of Jesus talking about his body broken and his blood shed made no sense to them until the next day, until the cross. So that's why we say the Passover meal talks about the past, but the bread and cup that we take, our bread and cup that we take today, looks to the future. Looks to thanksgiving to God for providing the ultimate sacrifice through his son Jesus that we might live. With those thoughts in mind, let us prepare to take the bread and the cup. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread. And after blessing, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." I want to ask you to take the cup element that you have. Be very careful with it because the top layer contains the bread. If you will go ahead and peel it back, but don't take it yet, please. We'll do that together. Moms and dads, help us with our children that may be participating with us today as well. It's no mistake. Every reference to bread and cup, every reference to this meal found in Matthew 26 or in a parallel passage in Mark or Luke or Paul's version of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they all say it in the same order. They all talk about the bread and what Jesus did with the bread. And I don't think that's just coincidence. I think it's a reminder that no matter what passage you turn to that describes the Last Supper, the bread and the cup, Jesus with his disciples that Thursday evening, that the wording, that the chronology of what happened is powerful in and of itself. So, Jesus took the bread, the scripture says. If you notice, I have a different type of bread than you do in your cup. It's a matzah loaf, a matzah cracker, if you will. It's basically unleavened bread. Bread that was made without yeast, without anything to make it rise as you would think of a dinner roll. And there was a reason for that, you remember. going back to the Old Testament, going back to the Exodus, going back to that first Passover meal, the people were commanded to make the bread in haste because they were about to be set free and they needed to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And so there was no time to add leaven, to add yeast to the bread. And so the tradition continues that the bread that Jesus took was much like this, a reminder that the people had to be ready in an instant. Obedience was very, very, very important, as it is in our lives today, is it not? Obedience, not waiting, not rushing, of course. But when God makes his will known to us, we respond immediately. So Jesus took the bread. But then it says he did a second thing. It says he blessed the bread. Let's do that. Father, we come to you today thanking you for the gift of life, thanking you for the story of salvation that we find in the book of Exodus, the recounting of Jesus as he shared the meal and then the bread and the cup with his own disciples. And then each and every time over the years, as Christians have taken the bread and the cup and we remember, we give thanks. Thankfulness that, yes, indeed, Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. So giving glory to his name, we say thanks. Amen. Jesus took the bread. Jesus blessed the bread. And then it says that he broke the bread. Now, what does that mean? You don't tear apart a loaf that's been leavened that has yeast in it. I mean, you can, you do, to make a proportion or a serving, but why would the scripture say Jesus broke the bread? Maybe it had something to do with hearing. Maybe it had something to do with imagining a body that was broken, literally broken, tortured. So as the bread is broken, let it be a reminder of the pain and the suffering and the fact that Jesus indeed gave his own body represented in this bread that we might live. So take a moment, listen, and pray. Jesus took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And then what? He gave it. So we take the bread that we have in remembering what Jesus commanded us to do, thinking of his body broken for us, let us take and let us eat. Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood, which is the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus basically did the same thing with the cup. Of course, he couldn't break it. That's not the point. But he took the cup, and he held it out. And he gave thanks. And then he commanded his disciples to drink of it. So as you carefully peel back that wrapper, the contents of this cup, as Jesus commanded, we take in remembering his blood spilled for us. We take it and we drink. God speaks, and we respond. We wrap up our time here today, giving that opportunity for you and me to say yes to God's call upon our lives. It could be that someone is in this very room and you have watched with us today. You have observed, and now you understand that this bread and this cup represent what Jesus did, not just for one people group, not just for Jews in the Old Testament, but that he did for the sins of every one of us. And there is no other way for salvation. There is no other way to please God than to come to him as we go through his son Jesus. So if that's a choice you want to make today, I want to urge you to step across that line of faith. Come forward and let us encourage you. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord. You just never told anyone. Well, come and tell us today. Profess your faith in him. There are no secret disciples. We should gladly profess who he is and what he has done for all of us. And perhaps you're looking for a place to call your own, a church where you can belong. Church is how God moves and works within within history. It's been that way ever since the first century. And whether we appreciate everything about the church or not is beside the point. It is God's method of sharing the news of his son to a lost and dying world. So if you're looking for a church where you can belong, where you can participate, then we invite you to join with us today, to come forward, to unite with us and begin and continue to walk that journey of faith, not by yourself, but as we do it together. God speaks, we respond. And if the taking of the bread and the cup today has reminded you of an area of obedience or disobedience, then don't leave here without taking care of that matter. If it has something to do with your life of faith, if it has something to do with the way you manage your resources, your money, remembering that Jesus paid it all, whatever that means, as you leave and move out to a new week, commit to doing what God wants you to do. Wayne and Michael will be standing down front. I will be down there as well. As God leads, you make that step of faith. We stand together, we sing.